Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Before we dive in, just want to let you know, we as a church had put together a search team for a youth pastor, and that team has been praying and seeking the Lord and believes that they have found who God has for our church. And so super excited about that. What that will look like is here in 2 weeks, he and his family will come, be here on a Friday where he will meet with potentially our youth sponsors. And then on Saturday, there'll be a time for youth to get to meet him, and then a church-wide period of time that you can come, ask questions, get to know the heart direction that he has. And then on Sunday morning, February 1st, he will pray. And what we will do is, as a church, seek and then affirm if we believe this is who God has for us. And so super excited in the days ahead, and just wanted to let you know of that. It's super exciting. So today, what we are doing is we are continuing our discussion as we really kind of began this discussion of what is our purpose. And today, really, the shift is, instead of it being pointed at exactly what I do, it's more about who I am. And I think that it's important to know that, I know, at least for me, when I know who I am, it at least helps me to know what to do. This became the most clear for me when I was at my first ministry position. I did my first and only youth lock-in. And, you know, it sounds like a fun thing, you know, hey, let's get all together and get all these kids together and we'll do all night, until you realize that you have to plan something for every minute of that night, because when they don't have something to do, they'll find something to do. And this was one of those moments. They had nothing really planned, and so all the guys got together and they thought that it would be cool to wrestle or whatever. You know, so they did, and on the bottom of the pile was this kid, and there's always at least one or two of them in a group of students that's just kind of annoying, and you know, I found myself kind of rooting on everyone else, you know, as he was on the bottom. And But anyway, his face started turning really purple, and I remember the thought hit my mind, like, you know, someone should do something about that. And then I remembered, like, I'm in charge. Like, and so I started pulling all the kids off of him, and he was out cold. I was scared. Now, it was only a couple of seconds. He came right back, and, you know, no problem. No one died. I was able to keep my job. But it was that moment when I realized, wait, Chad, you're the youth pastor, that it led me to do something. And today, as we talk about who we are in Christ, my prayer is that maybe some light bulbs will go off. Oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is who he has called me to be. And so as we look at that, you know, one of the things about a year and a half ago, as we started talking about our core values, we see the first one here, and each one of them is really kind of what you do. We're to live the truth because we know the truth and we trust it in Jesus. We're to depend upon God because we know our own results, right? And so we need him. We're to make disciples. This is the mission that he has given us. And ultimately, we're to prioritize the kingdom. Those are a bunch of things we should do. But one of the things I want to do with these is to more paint a picture of who we will become. And as we walk through this in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about who we become, and if we become this person, some of the things that will become evident. And so we'll dive in. As we walk through some of these, first off, as we live truth, it's because, as we've looked at over the last couple of weeks, we are just clay in the potter's hands, right? And being clay in the potter's hands, it means that he will mold us, he'll make us into the vessel that he wants us to be, and then to be used for his purpose. And I think that the quicker we can understand that, the freer really we become in life. Because now the things that we encounter, the things, the struggles that we have, we can trust the potter because we're in his hands. And so now it's my life. I can do, just as we sang here this morning, all of me, and everything, here I am, it is this, I will follow. I mean, these are the things that we just sang here this morning. We talked about last week how we are to be a disciple. this call to come and follow Jesus was one that we leave everything and we become and follow him so that we can become like him. And so living truth starts as we know the truth. We know that he is everything. We know that his word is powerful and will shape our lives. And so it starts there. As we depend upon God, what we're going to talk about today is it will lead us to be a spirit-led follower. We're following Jesus, but we're going to be led by the Spirit. We're going to be empowered by the Spirit, and we're going to unpack these things. And we can ultimately ask the question, am I abiding in Christ? Like, is that where my mind goes? Am I being led by him? When I go to work, do I ask the questions? Here I am. I'm getting ready to encounter some people today. Help me to be led by you so that I will be willing then to do what you call me to do. The next one, as we love God and others, of course, the more we learn about God and experience God, the more we're going to love him. But also, the more you look at Jesus' life and you begin to love God, you see that God loves people. And so those things are going to align. And so it will lead us to become an intentional neighbor. Jesus was asked, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And who's my neighbor? Well, then we have the story of the Good Samaritan, right? He was intentional. He did something. He saw a need and he met it. And so you and I, as we love God and love others, it will lead us to become an intentional neighbor. We'll start to see the people that we encounter on a regular basis. Obviously, the mission is to make disciples. But what does that mean? In making a disciple will become a fruitful producer. In other words, we won't just say that these things are there, but it will be clear in our lives that we'll be a part of multiplication. We'll be a part of handing off the things that God has entrusted us with and put into our lives. And so we should be able to answer the question, am I training, equipping others who are multiplying? And then as we prioritize God's kingdom, what it will lead us to do is to become a selfless servant. I will selflessly serve wherever, in whatever way that is. And so, you see, as we prioritize his kingdom is the most paramount, then I'll be willing to do whatever is going to be best for the kingdom. If that means that I'm uncomfortable, if that means that I stop doing even something that I really love, if that means that I need to multiply or to step into situations and just serve because it's going to be better for his kingdom, yes, because I prioritize you and your kingdom. And so you see how I then become selfless. I can lay down pride. I can lay down preferences gladly because the kingdom is at stake, his kingdom, not my own. And so you can see as we're going on this journey, what we're doing is instead of just saying, hey, here's what you should be doing, we're pointing to who we should be. If we are followers of Jesus, having surrendered our lives to him, our living sacrifice that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, here I am, my life, a living sacrifice to you, then who are you calling me to be? And so today, what we're going to do is in Galatians, we're going to look at this conflict that is waging inside of us. And we're going to talk about how if every day we have a decision, am I going to just run after my desires and my preferences and how life should be, or am I going to walk with the Spirit, led by the Spirit? And I think that we'll see the contrast of those two lives as we dive in. So if you don't mind, if you would like to, just in whatever way you would like to show honor to the Word, you can stand, you can sit, whatever you'd like to do. We're going to read today Galatians. We'll start in chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, before we go on the flesh, you're going to hear this over and over. This doesn't mean necessarily my flesh, like my skin, or even just my body, but it's really talking about our old self. The person we were before Christ, or someone who does not yet know Christ. The person that we're born into this world as, the one separated from God. So verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, You are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Father, we are thankful for your word. We ask that you would speak to us today through it. Help us to see a clear picture of our lives. Moments when we live and think on and pursue areas of the flesh, and then to be empowered by that of your Spirit. And so, God, I pray that we would choose today to walk with your Spirit, to be led by you, and in that, Lord, that we would uphold your word and your Spirit. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Today, as we dive in, we'll see that when our lives, our bodies, our minds are controlled by the Spirit, then we will walk with the Spirit. But when we are controlled by the flesh, then ultimately we are going to walk into our lusts, into our desires, into the things that this world says that we need or that we should be pursuing. And so, the Bible gives us a couple illustrations as to contrast these two. The first one that we'll look at is that of a pig. In 2 Peter 2:22, it talks about how you can wash a pig, but yet it's just going to go right back to the mud, right? It's going to go right back to the mud. It doesn't matter if you put lipstick on it or dress it up. I mean, that's just its nature. It's going to go to the mud. But a sheep is much different. A sheep will not go to the mud. It wants to stay clean. And so it contrasts these two, a sheep or a pig. In Genesis chapter 8, the flood has come. They're in the ark. And here it contrasts a raven and how a raven, as it's sent out, now a raven eats decaying flesh. And so if it was let go, it would go fly around. It would find plenty of that to devour. Maybe it had even come up to the bank, and so it would not return, which would have let Noah know that, hey, that maybe there might be some land. But then when he would send out a dove, you see, a dove would only have stayed away because it wants to eat what is growing and what is life. And so then if the dove were to stay away, then he would know that not only is there land, but there's things growing on the land. And so he then would have started looking for that. And he contrasts these two birds. And so in the same way, as you look at this, if we look at our old self or our old nature or the flesh, it would be like that of a pig or of a raven. It seeks unclean things, seeks them out. But that of the Spirit of God, it seeks what is clean. It seeks what is righteous. And so therefore, we must be like that as we walk with the Spirit. And I think can bring us some identifying factors as we live each day. Is what is coming to my mind or what I'm desiring right now, is it seeking unrighteousness or what is unrighteous or unclean? Or is it pursuing what is righteous and what is holy? And if that is the case, then I can run after that because I know and I can clearly identify that it is from the Spirit. Does that make sense? But you see, what happens is if we are engaged in those conversations, so to speak, in our mind, or that battle, then we'll just do what comes natural or comfortable for us. And not always is what is comfortable is going to be what is righteous. And we need to recognize that. And so, today, the promise that we have in verse 16 is that we can have victory. We can have victory over the flesh. We can have victory over our old self. And so listen to it. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Live your life in the power of the Spirit. Live your life in communion with the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so the Spirit produces righteousness, and we must identify that. Otherwise, we won't be engaged. We'll be led by our passions or our pursuits or the pressures of culture, which is what happens so much. You heard Sarah, even as she was up here talking about Hope Pregnancy Center, is there's not a difference of those who are inside the church and outside of the church, even when it comes to things like abortion. And I think the same can be true, said about many different things, divorce and staying married. Like, you see, somewhere along the line, Christianity as a whole has missed the teaching or the fact that we're this call, that we're to walk with the Spirit, which will always lead us towards righteousness. It's very confusing when we claim to be and live a life empowered, we have the Spirit of God, but yet we still walk in unrighteousness. That's confusing. It's confusing to each other. It's confusing in our own self. And I think that that's why there will be so many people that question, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, it's because you're not experiencing the victory that comes in Christ. You're not experiencing the hope and the peace and the joy and the adventure that He has us on as we walk with the Spirit. And so today we must identify those two, and we must identify the conflict that is waging war right now. He goes so far as to say, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. And so they're opposed to each other. You see this fight and battle. And so, but the promise is we'll have victory. And so we're to be led by, we're to walk by the Spirit. So how do we do that? How do we do this? It's one thing to say, yeah, walk by the Spirit, but what does that look like in our lives? Well, first off, I think it's important, and as we dive through this, we see that he identifies the works of the flesh. And it's helpful to know that. Because if I can identify the works of the flesh, then I can start to, and my experience, that I can start to identify this is clearly the flesh, and I can begin to then call to the Spirit. So what I mean by that is when I walk in unrighteousness or do something, have a sin that is against the Word of God, then I can let that be a reminder of my need and my dependence upon Him, right? So in other words, Chad, you just failed. Why are you still failing? Because you're a believer. You've been a believer for years. You've experienced the victory. You know that there is life in the Spirit. Why are you, or why did you in this moment allow that to lead you towards sin? Right? So I can have this conversation with myself, and then I can say, you're right. I am called to be righteous. And so I'm going to live my life. I'm going to pursue that. Lord, will you help me? I need you. I need you, Jesus, to help me to be the father, to be the husband, to be the pastor, to be the follower, man of God you've called me to be. And I can cry out to him in humility. Because if I can do this on my own and I don't need Jesus, then that's what a scary position that is, right? And so we're in this humility. And so here's the works of the flesh. He lays them out. Look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now you need to know that there are multiple lists of these. This is not a full list, okay? But these are just, here are some things that you can identify. Here are some. There's another list in Mark 7. There's one in Romans 1, 1 Timothy 1, 2 Timothy 3. There's several lists of that, of the flesh, or things, works of the flesh, if you will. But here's this one. Sexual immorality. It's going to point out a lot of these sensual ones, right? These lusts, if you will. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. Then there is a list in each one of these of more superstitious ones or like religious action, things that you might pursue to try to appease, if you will, some God, if there is one out there, what your mind may think or the people of the world. And so there might be idolatry, sorcery, things like that. Then there are lists that are more social, that are involved with different people. This is where enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions come into play. We'll start to envy each other and the different things in our lives. And so you can see how we can start to pursue these different works of the flesh, if you will, drunkenness and all these things that promise there's a desire associated with them, but they never fulfill what is promised. Jeremiah 17:9 would say that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is natural for us to run toward these things. This is why that battle is still waging. Paul would say it this way in Romans 7, the very things I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. You know, there's this battle that is waging, and we need to recognize it. So once we identify that there's works of the flesh, we must also then identify that there are works or things, fruit, that will be led by the Spirit. So here, get this picture with me. Someone who surrenders their life to Jesus, as we'll use the language we've been using, they come to the Lord and they say, here I am, I'm just clay in your hands, potter, I'm to be used by you. Make me into the vessel, I'll be used for your purpose, here I am. Okay? If that person was to come and surrender their lives to the Lord, then God would place His Spirit in them. And once God's Spirit has been placed in you and I, if you've believed and trusted in Jesus, then what will happen is an expectation of things that would be clear. So just like when you plant in your backyard or in your front yard, wherever you would plant it, let's say some sort of fruit tree, an apple tree or something, eventually you're going to expect this thing to produce some fruit, right? In the same way, I believe that as God has placed His Spirit in us, He expects to see things in us. These would come, the list would be more fruit of the Spirit. In other words, evidences of the Spirit being in your life. And so we see that the first three are really come from and powered by God Himself. Love. This word is agape, so it's a God kind of love. It's one that doesn't make sense to the world because it's empowered by God. So the love should be clearly seen in your life. I'm not talking about just loving your kids or loving your spouse. Anybody, whether you're a believer or non-believer, can do that. What I'm talking about is a love that is empowered by the Spirit of God, agape love. It's a love that doesn't make sense. It's a love that is burdened for the lost. It is a love that overwhelms us as we live our lives because it is given by God. Then there's joy. Joy is also, it's not dependent upon circumstances. It comes from knowing that you are a child of God and that there is a God who has a plan even when it seems as though there's not one. But there's this knowing, and so I can be joyous. It doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean that there's not struggles, but what it means is I believe that there's a God who has a plan and is with me. Then there is a peace. That presence of God gives a peace that surpasses understanding, and it's not always recognizable. Then there are fruit that would involve more of man and relationship with man, and we see these with like long-suffering or patience is how we would do it, gentleness, kindness, goodness. All of these things would be things that we would, how we would react towards each other. These are fruit that should be seen in the life of somebody. People should look at you. We've talked about this before, but you don't have to pray for patience. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's there. Like, it is a fruit that you're there. So what you do is you depend on and call to Jesus, and these are things that should come from Him and empowered by Him and His Spirit. Then there are things that are more of self or toward my life and who I am. Things like faith, faithfulness, dependability, things like meekness, this power that's under control, this humility that I don't have to always be the knowing. I don't have to let everyone know that there's this meekness that comes. There's temperance or self-control. And, you know, one of the things that, just so you know, is because the Spirit of God is in us, and self-control is one of the fruit that comes from having the Spirit of God in you, like, we no longer have an excuse. Like, we don't have an excuse to justify us. Well, you know, this is just who I am. I've always done this. Like, we don't have that ability to have that excuse because the Spirit of God is in us and it has self-control. So, for instance, over the last couple of weeks, I have decided that I'm just not going to have any sugar in my life. And I just want to tell you, there have been times I've literally had to call to Jesus to say, hey, I need you right now. And I've not been 100% on that, but that was just kind of my goal. I'm gonna try to just not have any sugar in my life. And that's really hard for, I mean, I've been addicted to sugar like literally my whole life. And so for me, this has been a trying time. But over and over, I was just reminded, Chad, self-control is fruit of the Spirit. Like, that's in you. You get to decide. And that's so true. And that's just a small thing. Like, in our everyday lives, when we are tempted, or when maybe we have this pattern of getting angry, or not being patient, the Spirit of God is in you, and He will empower you to be who He's called you to be. But it will require you to have faith in Him and depend upon Him. Amen? And it's the same with every area of obedience. So here we see this battle, the flesh, then the Spirit. And so, promise victory. And I think for me, as Paul unpacks it here, there is a side of this that it is vital for you and I to realize that this has taken place and that I identify, and that is the crucifixion of Jesus. If we don't realize that our old life, that the flesh has been crucified with Christ, then we'll still live as though that flesh is alive, but it's been crucified. And it's been buried. And we now have new life. And the picture of baptism that I think that sometimes we don't fully understand or give much power to, like, man, we've been blessed and we get to see people baptized on a regular basis. But I want to tell you, we should not lose the wonder and excitement of someone who is identifying with the crucifixion of Jesus. That they have died. Their flesh, their old self has died with Christ. Amen? And we have now new life. And in this new life, it is one that is empowered by the Spirit that we're to walk in righteousness. Now listen, I don't care if you've gone down front, said a prayer. I don't care if you've been baptized. If you are not walking in righteousness, then the caution here, he says that though I've warned you and I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't care what you've said. I don't care what you've participated in. This is a clear evidence. Are you walking with the Spirit of God? Then I just want to tell you very lovingly, you probably have not surrendered your life to Jesus. You can't just live your own life and just add Jesus to it. That's not the call. When he called his disciples, he says, come follow me. They left everything. Others would try. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I'll come follow you, but let me first go do this. And he says, let the dead bury their own dead. If you will not die, deny yourself, and come follow me. You are not worthy of me. I want you to know, he has called us to something that is not easy, because it is a narrow path and it is hard, and only a few find it. And I want you to know that he has called us to a life that is one of righteousness, and it will require us to be crucified with Christ and to walk in the power of the Spirit. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, verse 24, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified it. If I live by the Spirit, let me keep in step with the Spirit. If I have truly crucified the flesh, then I will keep in step with the Spirit of God. If I haven't yet, then today, here's the call. Crucify it. Crucify the flesh. Die to self. Walk with Jesus, and he will empower you to do that as you put your faith in him. We're not going to have a whole lot of time, but I want you to turn with me back to Romans 6. And I wish we had more time to fully unpack this, because I still want to get to Romans 8. That's why I'm saying that. So Romans 6, do you not know that all, this is verse 3, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Crucified with Christ, raised with him to new life. We're to walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. You're set free. Verse 11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. So, you and I, picture this. Bought with a price, no longer our life to live. We are a living sacrifice. Come to the altar of God. Here I am, I'm living. I've died to self. We have surrendered our lives. We have trusted in Jesus. He has placed his Spirit in us. As he has placed his Spirit in us, he has commanded us to walk in righteousness, in step with the Spirit of God that he has placed in us, which will require us, are you ready? Will require us then to spend time with him and cling to him and pray to him and believe that he is right here with me. Which is why, as we look at the depend on God, it says we rely on God's strength, wisdom, and provision in every aspect of our lives, recognizing that true growth and change come as we abide in him. John 15, we abide, we cling to Jesus, we walk with him, we dive into his word. And so listen, if you've been made new, Spirit of God is in you, it will be evident. Now, flip over one page, look at chapter 8. For those who live according to the flesh, this is verse 5, sorry, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Hostile, completely opposed, against. We see that battle that is waging. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't. You're going to continue to battle. You're going to try. You're going to muster up strength at times where you can do okay. You might be sober, so to speak, for a little bit of whatever sin you're struggling with. But I want to tell you, there is a reason why it keeps falling. It's because you're not abiding. You're not clinging to. You're not being led by, empowered by, or walking with the Spirit. Conviction may come. Conviction may come just because you don't want to face certain people. It may not come because you've broken the heart of God or went against him. I want to tell you, it's only when the Spirit of God empowers you. So, he says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Oh, children of God. I love this. Remember, it's all about who you are. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says, I believe it's 23, 24, he says, I pray that they will know that you love them even as much as you love me. Jesus is saying this as he's praying for his disciples. When I served with Walker Moore, Walker would always say, I am my Father's favorite child. I love that. He wasn't saying that about him personally. He's saying all of us. If we are followers of Jesus, like, I'm his favorite child. He loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Think about that. Some of you need to realize that. Some of you need to hear that right now. You, having trusted in Jesus, you are his favorite child. He loves you as much as Jesus. You are a son of his, a daughter of his. He calls you his masterpiece, knit you together in your mother's womb, molded you into the vessel that he so decides for a purpose. You are just clay in the potter's hand. What does he want to use you for? Trust him, walk with him, abide in him. Open his word, find life, truth. Plan and protect time. Listen, there is always, always going to be something that comes against your time with God. Put your phone in the other room. Lock the door. The kids can beat on it. It's fine, you know. Spend time with the Father. I've had two people that walk with, literally, they would spend time in their closet. They shut the door. They could lock it. They'd spend time in their closet. They'd have different things on the wall that they could look at. Find a time. Find a place. If you've got to wake up early, it's worth it. Spend, plan, and protect time with God. Walk with him. Walk with the Spirit throughout the day. When you sin, you're going to. When you mess up, you're going to. But let that be an identifying mark of you're weak and you need Jesus. Call to him in that moment. When you respond in a way that you know you shouldn't have, confess it, repent of it. God, I need you. Help me. I know I'm getting ready to walk into a meeting and I don't like these people very much. I'm going to need you to give me a burden for them. They matter to you. Help them matter to me. Lord, I know that I'm getting ready to go to Walmart and there is all sorts of sin that's in there, right? I don't know. Whatever they get. I know I'm going to need you. Give me opportunities to see people the way that you do. Lord, I'm getting ready to pull into my driveway. And I've got some kids and a spouse in there that need me. And they need me to not check out. Will you give me strength? Will you give me strength to lead my family tonight? I'm exhausted. I've been through a lot today. But I'm going in amongst those who know nothing of what I've gone through. Help me to lead them. Help me to point them to you. You see, when we depend upon God, it's a walk step by step with him, needing him, trusting in him. If we don't, I'm telling you, every day is going to always lean towards comfort and security. It's always going to lean toward my preference. I'm going to be unwilling to do the hard things. But if I walk in the Spirit, and I'm reminded that I'm a living sacrifice. I'm just clay in the potter's hand made for his purpose. He gets to determine it. He gets to decide. Then each day I'll cling to him and I'll hold on to him. And I'll know that he's placed his Spirit in me and he wants to see the fruit of that Spirit that he's placed in me. That he desires and plans and even empowers that my life start to look like Jesus. And it will always lead me towards righteousness, not unrighteousness. Always. And again, when unrighteousness starts to flare up, oh Lord, I'm reminded of my need for you. So who are we? As we depend on God, we'll become Spirit-led followers. Just in the dust of our rabbi, as we become like him, follow him, trust him, cling to him. When we encounter things in life, we're going to go to the truth. We're going to go to the word. How should I respond? We're going to cling to the Spirit. Empower me. Here I am. And so let's bow before the Lord. Father, we pray that today, as we have heard your word, Lord, help us to apply it to our lives, that we will seek to abide in you. Oh, Lord, help us to be selfless. That when moments of the works of the flesh, that it will drive us to your presence and that we'll cling to you all the more. Lord, even if, as we have looked at this, if there's someone here and they would say, I don't know that I have the Spirit of God, that today they would call to you. They would realize that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven of our sin and that we would have new life. And so, God, I pray that today that there is a surrender to come and follow, a surrender to live life for you. Lord, I pray for believers all over the room that we will no longer check out, but that we'll cling to you, that we'll spend time in your word, that we'll walk with your spirit, that we'll be empowered to do the things you've called us to. That as we do, Lord, that we will overcome the flesh. And that, Lord, our lives will be that of righteousness, light to the darkness, hope to the hurting, and that, God, that we will impact others. So, Lord, we need you. We ask that you would move in power in our lives. Help us to respond in ways that would bring you honor and glory. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.